Welcome to What Matters in North Carolina. Hey, my name's Mark Shiver. I'm your host, and I'm happy because they're talking about repealing Obamacare. Why am I happy? I'm not on Obamacare. Well, I'm happy because I'm a conservative, and I don't think the government needs to be in the insurance business. Now, I understand Medicaid and Medicare and all of that, and I'm not going to argue with you about that today. But I just want Obamacare done away with. I think I'd be happy if they just changed the name. Congress seems to be moving, and they're unwinding it budgetarily. And we're going to talk with a guy named Bob Moffitt. He's a PhD at the Heritage Foundation and a senior fellow in their health policy analysis group, and find out what he has to say about, are they really going to go through with this? Because Daniel Horowitz over at Conservative Review has been banging the drum pretty loudly, and we're going to try to get Daniel on here and get his side of this, that the Republicans are kind of smoking, mirroring this thing. And so we'll see. Look, it's complex. It's not like flipping a light switch. Okay, Obamacare's gone. I wish it were that easy. But the reality is, and I don't think there's any conservative in America who would say, you know, the heck with all them people. Get them off of that insurance. We don't care. People dying of cancer, they don't need to be on insurance. You know, come on. Nobody is saying that. Now, the left would have you believe that the mean old, you know, hearts of Satan Republicans would kick everybody off of insurance and have them die tomorrow. And that's just not true. Remember Bill Clinton back in the 94, right after the Republicans did the contract with America and won in the Congress? It was almost daily he was on the television or the radio or in the newspaper. The Republicans want to take your grandparents' Social Security. The Republicans want you to have dirty water. I mean, folks, this fear-mongering, this rhetoric, this outrage that we hear from the left is nothing new. They accuse Republicans of this sort of thing all the time. It's just not true. But we do have a major piece of legislation, a major law that's been in place now for, what, 7 years? It affects millions of people, and the Republicans are going to try to do something with it. My biggest thing, and you've heard me say this before, is stop taxing people for not having insurance. What is that? Stop that. That's wrong. You've seen it. If you do your own taxes, or even if you don't, you get this thing in the mail that shows you had insurance every month. Each month is outlined, and there's an X in the box that says you had insurance. Does the federal government need to be knowing whether or not I had insurance? And if I didn't, penalizing me? No. That's my biggest beef with Obamacare. So if they would just stop that, the individual mandate, these tax penalties, then I would be very happy. So we're going to talk to Bob Moffitt from the Heritage Foundation, find out what he has to say, and he has a lot more in-depth insight into this sort of thing than I do. And I'm looking forward to talking with him. We'll get to that in just a moment. But first, we need your help. We need you to tell your friends and your family, hey, have you listened to What Matters in North Carolina? Folks, I don't know if you heard yesterday, we had the most pleasant conversation with Julie Wilsey. She's the airport director at ILM, Wilmington International Airport. Don't ask me how they got ILM out of Wilmington International. It should be WIA. But anyway, she was so pleasant, and she was talking about the awesome economic impact of the Wilmington airport and how they're responsible for over 5,000 jobs and $1.8 billion of economic impact in that area. And we're not only getting on this program, folks, and you know, having me holler and rant and rave about having to pay taxes. We're bringing you content that you will not find anywhere else. We're going to have a couple of guests in the next little while that I guarantee you are not going to hear anywhere else. I'm just going to say that. It's going to be a surprise, but working on something really cool. So keep it tuned here. Why don't you go ahead and subscribe? Just have the show dropped right into your phone, right into your computer through iTunes or Google Play, and go to the website, freedomactionnetwork.com. You can have it dropped into your RSS feed and tell your friends and your family. Send them the link and let them know that we're here. Go ahead and like our Facebook page, facebook.com/whatmattersnc. Follow us on Twitter @whatmattersnc. And you can follow me at Mark Shiver. I'll follow you back, and you can yell at me, and we'll have a good time. So the show is growing. We appreciate you listening. We appreciate you telling your friends and your family. And good things ahead here on What Matters in North Carolina. All right, Obamacare, it's up next. Well, as everyone knows, Obamacare is the topic of a lot of conversation, and as well it should be. It's something that the American people have been looking forward to getting rid of, at least I have, for quite some time. And joining us now to give a good detailed explanation of where exactly we are in the process of dealing with Obamacare is Bob Moffitt. He is a PhD with the Heritage Foundation, in a senior fellow in their Center for Health Policy Studies, and well qualified to talk about the Affordable Care Act. Bob, welcome to What Matters in North Carolina.
Well, thank you very much. Happy to be with you, Mark.
Well, we've only got a few more days left in the Obama administration, and it feels really good for me to say that, but just letting my personal opinion kind of come out here. But looking forward to something new in our country. And one of the things that I am hopeful of is that the Republicans, who campaigned largely on getting rid of Obamacare, will do just that. So are they going to do that? We'll start there.
Well, they've already taken the first steps to doing it. They passed the budget resolution in the House, and they passed the budget resolution in the Senate. That budget resolution outlines the budgetary requirements for the next act, Act 2, which is the passage of a reconciliation bill. And that will be next. I expect that will happen very quickly.
Well,
but they've already taken the first step.
Well, that's encouraging news. The reason I'm asking this, Bob, is not to be cynical, but some, even conservatives, are saying that this is kind of a bait-and-switch thing, smoke and mirrors, that at the end of the day, when the dust settles, the Republicans really are not going to get rid of Obamacare. And so
I think there's an awful lot of people out there talking about stuff they know nothing about. The truth of the matter is that you cannot use the budget reconciliation process, which basically insulates you from a Senate filibuster for matters that are not related to the budget process. So you can't simply, through the budget reconciliation process, repeal the entire Obamacare law in one fell sweep. It's not doable.
Okay.
You have to meet the budget standards, and the budget standards are set in law, and that's just the way it is. So what they're going to do is they'll basically repeal what they did last year. They repealed last year all of those items that were central to Obamacare: the individual mandate, the employer mandate, the medical device tax, the Medicaid changes. All of those were repealed, the Cadillac tax. And they can do the same thing again this year, and I expect they will.
So I'm reading a piece that you have posted at heritage.org, Obamacare Repeal and Replacement, the Case Moving Quickly. And you explain, and this is something that I've not read elsewhere, so I appreciate you writing this, but under Obamacare, most newly insured people have been enrolled in Medicaid welfare program.
That's right.
And so a lot of people are concerned, we're getting rid of Obamacare, and we're just going to kick all these people to the curb, but that really isn't the case.
No. Once again, I don't know of anybody who's actually advocating that. If you look at simply a repeal bill, that doesn't solve the problem of what you do next. I mean, so the whole process is repeal and replace. We are not going to throw 20 million people out of coverage. That's just nonsense. There's nobody proposing that. Mr. Trump certainly says he doesn't want anybody to fall through the cracks. Mr. Ryan has indicated that. Senator McConnell has indicated that. So I don't see, frankly, where this is coming from. I think, certainly liberal Democrats would like to think that Republicans in Congress are so stupid as to throw 20 million people out of coverage, but that, in fact, is not going to happen.
Yeah. Well, it's coming from the left and those who are fear-mongering and throwing out rhetoric just to hear themselves talk, I believe. But really, from a practical standpoint, what is it that we, or at least in your mind, that we can expect to see, 90 days from now in terms of the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare? I guess we'll still have people insured under Medicaid. Will we still have exchanges? Will we still have premium subsidies, that sort of thing?
You will probably have subsidies in place until the actual new system is set up. Last year, when they passed the reconciliation bill, they set up a 2-year transition period. And that's 2 years in order to get something done. I think, frankly, they're going to move much, much more quickly than that. Mr. Trump has indicated he wants it to be very fast track. So did Congressman Ryan. So I think that that will take place. I think their most important task right now is to deal with the damage that's already been done. The health insurance markets are very damaged. And as I mentioned in the article you just referenced, mm-hmm. Basically there are about 10 million people who get coverage in the individual market who do not get any subsidies at all. So the 25% premium increase nationwide, which is the average nationwide, is killing these folks. And they're also faced with huge deductibles. If you talk with people who are on the Obamacare exchanges and they do not get subsidies, and if you make over $47,000 a year, you do not get any kind of a premium subsidy. And as I pointed out in the article, if you make more than $15 an hour, you do not get any federal subsidies to offset your out-of-pocket cost. These people are in deep trouble, and unless Congress takes action quickly, these people will start to lose coverage. So what we have to do is we have to basically send signals to the market to quickly calm and stabilize those markets and pave the way for a smooth transition. There's a number of things that can be done pretty quickly. First of all, Obamacare basically provided the Secretary of HHS with enormous regulatory authority. And so the new Secretary of HHS, possibly Mr. Tom Price, can liberalize the law's essential benefit requirements and send the message to the market, yes, you can have leaner coverage if you wish. You can have more diverse policy options than you have now. They can certainly reduce the benefit requirements. They can also streamline some of the preventive health care requirements giving plans a greater flexibility to modify their plans, and that can save money as well, stabilize the market, reduce the premiums. So they can do a number of things administratively. At the end of the day, however, they're going to have to make changes in the health insurance market. The most important change that they have to make, seems to me, is to turn over the insurance regulation back to the states to allow the states to make a determination of what kind of rating rules they want to have. Right now, the rating rules are very, very tough. It's a 3-to-1 ratio, which means that you can't charge a person 64 years old any more than 3 times what you charge an 18-year-old person. The problem with that is that it artificially raises the premiums for young people and drives them out of the market.
Our guest, Bob Moffitt from the Heritage Foundation. And Bob, what I guess as a diehard conservative, my first question is, you know, what role does government have in providing health insurance? This is a relatively, with the exception of Medicaid and Medicare, a relatively broad concept that we really have, you know, we heard about from Hillary Clinton in 92 and it got shot down in 94. And then Obama comes along and he gets his thing passed. But it's almost as if the world is beginning to accept that it's a role of the federal government to provide insurance for people. And you know, as much as I would love for them to do that for me, I'm not buying it.
Well, the fact of the matter is that the government now has turned the insurance market into a public utility, and the idea of an independent insurance plan is right now a thing of the past. That may very well change under Mr. Trump. I think it will. I think we'll see a rebirth of private insurance and greater independence on the part of insurance companies. But right now, situation is that almost every business transaction that insurance companies undertake today is subjected to federal regulation or direction or guidance. So, we do have Medicare, we have Medicaid, we have the State Children's Health Insurance Program, we have the VA. the Veterans Administration program, and we have these exchange plans. These exchange plans are basically government plans. You're quite right about that.
Our guest, Bob Moffitt of the Heritage Foundation. Bob, in terms of my biggest thing, if I could stand on my head and scream very loudly at Congress and at President-elect Trump, my biggest deal is let's get rid of these tax penalties. I don't think the government should be taxing people because they don't buy insurance. And, you know, I'll tell you a quick story. My daughter, who did not live with me for a period of time, bought insurance through the exchange, and she went out of the country for 6 months on a missionary thing over in Cambodia, came back and moved in, you know, home for just a short period of time while she was getting set to do whatever, you know, she was going to do once she got back in the country. And the way the whole tax thing worked out, it cost me $2,000 because my daughter bought insurance through the exchange and then came and lived with me for a period of time that under the law. And I'm thinking to myself, this is ridiculous. Why, you know, and obviously she'd gotten a subsidy, but, you know, I'm thinking either A, don't subsidize these people, or B, don't be taxing me because my daughter bought insurance. I mean, it was ridiculous.
I'm not going to comment on your daughter's situation. I simply don't know. It is a complex system. The fact of the matter is that most of this should be much more simpler than it is today. The best way to solve that problem is to say that anybody who buys health insurance should get tax relief, individual tax relief for the purchase of that coverage, just like we get tax relief for the purchase of group insurance through our employer.
Yeah.
If you get health insurance through your employer, it's completely tax-free. We should allow individuals to buy individual coverage and also get a tax relief to offset the cost of it. And that should be the end of the government role in all of this.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree with that completely. You know, if you fill out your taxes now, you've got to show where you had insurance, you know, and you get forms in the mail that show that you were covered for each month of the 12 months of the year. And if not, you subject yourself to being penalized. And that's specifically what I'm talking about. I think that's absurd. And if they would do one thing and one thing only, I would like for them to stop that, you know, penalizing people for not being insured. I think it's wrong, and I think it's vast government overreach. But that's my opinion. And
well, of course, the individual mandate is subject to the budget reconciliation process, which means that could be repealed.
Yeah. So in terms, Bob, we appreciate your time and your knowledge and your expertise. So you're confident then that the cynics, those that are saying that that this is really not going to be a significant change, that that the new Congress and the new president actually will do something positive in this arena. You have hope in that regard.
Well, I mean, first of all, I mean, I don't know who the cynics are, but last year the Congress passed a bill. It was H.R. 3762. It repealed many of the Obamacare provisions. For crying out loud. I mean, the question is, that's real. I mean, I don't know what the cynics are talking about. They've already done it once. It was vetoed by Obama. They're going to do it again. They have already passed a budget resolution yesterday, which would put the reconciliation bill in order under the Senate and House rules. So I don't know what they're talking about.
Yeah, well, here's one sentence, a prominent conservative, I won't mention his name, but article this morning. What happens when Republicans pursue a half-baked repeal of Obamacare and sell it to the public as a full repeal? Premiums will go up because of the core Obamacare provisions left behind, yet that increase will be blamed.
Right. I know what he's talking about. He's talking about the insurance rules, okay?
Yeah.
Let's try it again. There is no way you can repeal non-budgetary items in a reconciliation bill, unless that cannot be done. The argument is, you know, what can you do? If the argument is that we're going to have trouble, you know, getting 60 votes in the Senate, I agree, it's going to be a little tough. But that's, you know, that's why God made, you know, citizens to write their members of Congress. I mean, but you can't blame the congressional leadership for following the rules. I really don't understand this.
Yeah. Well, it's certainly going to be interesting, and we certainly value your input on all of this, Bob, and we appreciate your time and for being our guest here on What Matters in North Carolina. Thank you so much, sir.
Okay, sir. Great talking to you.
Yes, sir. Well, I think I was making Bob mad, but he doesn't like folks challenging what he sees as a pretty cut-and-dried repeal and replace of Obamacare, but appreciate Bob always being our guest here on What Matters in North Carolina. And as I said before, I won't bang this drum again, but thanks for telling your friends and your family about What Matters in North Carolina. We appreciate you listening. We appreciate you spreading the word, and we have some great guests lined up for you in the next day or so, so you don't want to miss a thing. Be sure to stay keenly in tune, and we'll let you know through social media on Facebook and Twitter what's happening, but got some really cool stuff lined up for you. Thank you so much for listening. My name is Mark Shiver, and this is What Matters in North Carolina.